of chimney sweeps and courtship sweeps and courtship poor. Our architectural partners, Bailey and Garner, who had previously collaborated with us on the Banstead project, were now involved in a new cafe development at Palwell Common in East Sheen, right on the fringe of Richmond Park. They kindly put in a recommendation for us to Richmond Council and tipped us off about the cafe project that was just beginning to take shape. At the same time, we were actively pursuing a park restoration and cafe development in Litchfield, Staffordshire. Interest in pistachios in the park was gaining momentum, and Adrian and I knew we'd need a local franchisee to make the Litchfield site work. So, we placed an advert in Businesses for Sale to gauge interest. Coincidentally, on the very day we set off from South London, taking the M1 and M6 toward Litchfield, I received an email from Ranjit Panesar and Anthony Hunt, a couple who had seen our listing and were eager to learn more. Since we were heading in their direction anyway, I gave Anthony a call and we arranged to meet that same afternoon. When we arrived, Anthony greeted us on his own. At first, we could feel a little uncertainty. It's not every day a couple welcomes two unfamiliar men into their lives, especially when one is Turkish and the other of Jamaican heritage. But once we began talking, any tension quickly dissolved. Our openness and warmth paved the way for trust. Once Anthony felt reassured, he called Rangit to join us. I shared the story behind pistachios in the park, how it all began with my son's football team and the incredible community spirit that grew around it. I explained my vision for cafes and parks, a return to the elegance and connection of yesteryear. In the Victorian era, parks were more than green spaces. They were places of courtship, family, and decency. People dressed up to meet their future partners. You certainly didn't go looking for love in the drinking dens of the time. I even referenced Mary Poppins, how Dick Van Dyke, despite playing a soot-covered chimney sweep, would scrub up and dress smartly to charm Mary. That was the feeling I wanted to revive. Nostalgia, warmth, community, and charm. And all of it rooted in a quality cafe experience. Our passion clearly struck a chord. They were all in. Litchfield felt like the perfect next chapter for them, and for us. Unfortunately, despite our shared enthusiasm, that particular opportunity never came to fruition due to circumstances beyond our control. But fortune, as ever, had other plans. Thanks to Bailey and Garner's recommendation, we were soon introduced to Mr. McAllister, the head of parks at Richmond Council, and the opportunity at Palwell Common was about to open a new door. Not long after, we were thrilled to win the tender for Palwell Common. For Fred, who was never happier than when working side by side with architects, it was another welcome opportunity to do what he loved most. From Frimley Lodge to East Greenwich, Victoria Park to East Sheen, Pistachios in the Park was no longer just a franchise. It was fast becoming a movement. A network of inviting spaces, family-run cafes, and vibrant communities, all connected by a shared ethos of warmth, inclusion, and timeless charm. We were flourishing, and deep down, we knew we were only just getting started. With a fresh 5-year concession secured for just £5,000 a year, Pistachios in the Park was ready to unveil its latest chapter, this time in the leafy enclave of Palwell Common, a tucked-away jewel on the edge of Richmond Park. Richmond Council had high hopes for the launch and planned an official opening event worthy of the setting, hosted by none other than Lord True himself. Among the invited guests were familiar names, Zach Goldsmith, Sir Trevor MacDonald, and Julie Etchingham, as well as the ever-supportive friends of Palwell Common. To handle the day's catering, I called on Atan, my go-to man for anything involving a white tablecloth, canapé, or crunch moment. At the cafe, Caitlin, Ben, and I formed the frontline team. I took command of the food counter, while they worked the espresso machine like seasoned pros, sending out cappuccinos and teas in a steady rhythm. Adrian arrived early, full of bounce himself, having brought a bouncy castle on loan from Botton's family fair, which he spent the day manning with gleeful energy. Ranjit and Anthony, soon to be our newest franchisees, were there with their families. Having just relocated, there hadn't been enough time for full training, so we agreed they'd step back and soak in the atmosphere while we held the reins for the day. It was the right call, and what a day it was. East Sheen FC kicked things off with a lively five-a-side tournament. The local fire brigade arrived in a gleaming engine, sirens off but spirits high. Dance troupes, musicians, and families with children in tow gave the park a carnival energy. The cafe was humming, lines snaking out the door, chatter floating in the air, and the smell of lemon crepes, grilled club sandwiches, and baked treats luring visitors from every corner of the green. Anthony, for his part, had gone all in. Though he and Rangit were a couple, they weren't married, and it was Anthony's leap of faith and capital that made their franchise a reality. He'd drawn on his buy-to-let earnings from Birmingham and even cashed in premium bonds gifted by his mother to cover the franchise fee and full internal fit-out. A true emotional and financial investment in something entirely new. For now, Anthony remained loyal to his role as a police officer in Birmingham, commuting long hours while Rangit, who came from an IT background, stepped into a whole new world behind the cafe counter. They'd sold their home, moved into a modest two-bed house in East Sheen, and enrolled their children in a local school. They weren't just opening a cafe, they were building a new life. Among the visitors was Sharn, Ranjit's brother, and a school cook back in Birmingham. He stood back, arms folded, quietly impressed by the footfall, the buzz, and the seamless rhythm of service. "This is more my kind of thing than my sister's," he admitted with a chuckle. I grinned. "Anyone with the right mindset, fresh ingredients, and some guidance can make this work. I can teach anyone to cook our menu and pull a proper flat white." He raised an eyebrow. "Got any more cafes?" "Not today," I said, "but there's a box of prospectuses in the boot of the car. Let's chat later." And before the sun dipped behind the trees, he had one in hand. Diane, Opal, and Fred were there too. Diane and her mum carefully dressed the wooden toy display, a vibrant showcase of our franchise's added charm, while Fred checked fixtures and did his usual last-minute tweaks. True to tradition, a hiccup struck. Diane and Opal broke down near Putney Bridge on their way home. With the cafe bustling and me anchored in place, Fred grabbed my Freelander and dashed off to rescue them. Still, nothing could dampen the day's success. Lord True was full of praise, a tan delivered as he always did, and Adrian, never one to miss a community touch, donated all proceeds from the bouncy castle to the friends group, leaving a lasting impression. As the last cappuccino was poured and the final chairs were stacked, we were drained, but proud. Palowell Common had joined the Pistachios family, not just as another cafe, but as a symbol of what made this movement special. Community, courage, and one bold leap of faith. Although we had encouraged Ranjit and Anthony to engage with their community and organize events, it became clear early on that Anthony had a far better grasp of the Pistachios' ethos. While Rangit focused heavily on the numbers, locking the toilets to non-paying customers and closing early at the first sign of rain, on his days off from policing in Birmingham, Anthony fully embraced life at Palwell. He wasn't just running a cafe, he was becoming a part of the community. He chatted easily with regulars, kicked a rugby ball with the kids, and could often be seen playing cricket with his son Rahul on the green. His presence radiated the kind of warmth that turned a park cafe into a neighborhood hub. Then came the day that sealed his place in the hearts of many. It started with the roar of two stolen scooters tearing across the grass, hotly pursued by a panicked man in a car. The scooters, we soon learned, had just been lifted from a nearby motorcycle showroom. The car couldn't follow across the field, but Anthony didn't hesitate. Leaping off the cafe terrace, he sprinted after them without a second thought. Moments later, the buzz of an engine returned. Anthony re-emerged from the woods, riding one of the recovered scooters, the would-be thief long gone. He handed it back to its astonished, grateful owner. It was a moment of instinctive bravery and quick thinking, true community policing in action, and a shining example of the Pistachio spirit. Meanwhile, another familiar face made an appearance. Alan Petters, a longtime friend and trusted companion from countless squash games and shared evenings out. Alan had built a small but clever business installing vending machines filled with affordable treats, sweets, all priced from just 20p. It was his way of keeping the magic of pocket money purchases alive, and I was more than happy to support the idea. After all, while our jars of traditional Old English sweets were a nostalgic hit, they didn't always suit a child's budget. I believed there should be something for everyone. so we welcomed Alan's vending machines into our cafes. It was a simple handshake deal. Pistachios took no cut. Alan would maintain the machines, and in return, he'd pass 25% of his takings directly to the franchisees. It wasn't a fortune, but it was a pleasant little bonus, enough for a Friday night takeaway or some fresh flowers on the counter. A win-win all around. Or so I thought. One day, Alan visited Palowell to service and restock his machines, only to find them abandoned behind the cafe, gathering rust and grime. Furious, he confronted Rangit, who greeted him with a brazen smile and asked if he had any sweets in the van she could buy from him directly. As it turned out, she'd discarded Alan's machines and replaced them with her own. Not content with the 25% share, she wanted the full cut. Alan was livid and later warned me, "You're gonna have trouble with this one." It was a red flag I shouldn't have ignored. To help bolster community engagement, I brought in a familiar face, Kirsty Eyre, a witty, theatrically gifted mum and customer from our Lewisham Cafe. She had written and performed a brilliant, farcical musical called Baby Bubble, a comedic look at modern motherhood. After its smash debut at Manor House Gardens, we invited her to perform at Palwell. And what a hit it was. Mothers laughed until they cried, children were captivated, and the cafe brimmed with joy. One mum, Sophie, put it best. "I came for a coffee and left with sore cheeks from laughing." Baby Bubble was genius, relatable, funny, and just what I didn't know I needed. It made me feel seen. And the fact that it happened here in my local park for free, that's something special. Sophie, local mum of two. Unfortunately, not all was harmonious behind the scenes. During the event, Rangit frequently showed aggression toward Anthony in front of both staff and customers, creating a visibly uncomfortable atmosphere. I had to step in and restore calm, reminding everyone of the professionalism we expected and the welcoming space we had promised our community. Still, the day was a success. Laughter echoed, stories were shared, and another memory was made under the growing Pistachios banner. Palowell had become a place of theater, heart, and family connection. But as the curtain fell, I knew we'd need to keep a close eye on how this story would continue to unfold. And as for Kirsty, her story didn't end there. She would go on to become a published author, releasing her debut novel, Cowgirl, under her own name. A witty, heartfelt tale about a city academic returning to her Yorkshire dairy roots. It won the Comedy Women Imprint Prize. Later, she adopted the pseudonym Ginger Jones for her follow-up, You Had Me at Halloumi, a romantic comedy set in sun-soaked Cyprus, filled with culinary dreams and self-discovery. Both books carried her unmistakable warmth and humor, and we were proud to have been a small part of her journey. Palowell had become another living branch in the growing Pistachios tree. But as the cafe blossomed, it was clear that tending to its roots would need just as much care.